This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. And Dave, it's good to hear that the wind chill has gone up from 13 to 14.
14, 16 at Midway, so there's a positive.
Well, I was out on the Storm Center patio, and at least today was unlike yesterday when there was you got to see those flurries in the air.
How about that?
Oh, I know. It was like, okay, let's just go back to bed. You know,
nothing like northern Minnesota and Wisconsin and the UP and Michigan.
No,
they're getting
well, and during the Michigan game too, up in Ann Arbor, where in the late stages of the game, that just looked nutty out.
How about it? Yeah.
Well, you know, 'tis the season, right?
It is. Usher it in.
Yeah, ring some bells or something, right? Thanks a lot, Dave.
Oh, you're quite welcome, Rick, as always.
You come back when we get to 15 for the wind chill, will you?
Well, the Lake Michigan water temperature is 54.
Yeah, I heard you say that. Yeah, okay, polar plunge time. Let's go after the show. You're on. You go first.
Oh, I go.
I'll be right behind
you. I'm right behind you, sure.
Famous last words. Well, joining me here in the Allstate Showcase this morning is Tom Bowen, and Tom is founder and principal of New Chicago Consulting and a senior advisor at Max Strategies Group, a Democratic consultant. And we kind of talked via email about where goes the Democrats now. But before we go there, I want to play this cut of Bernie Sanders, who was on Stephen Colbert's show, and he was basically asked, what do you believe should be in any kind of Democratic Party post-election autopsy?
The Democrats cannot continue to be run, the Democratic Party, by what I call a liberal elite. And that is
And you don't consider yourself a liberal elite? No, I don't, actually.
I don't. And, you know, good-meaning people. They're not my enemies. They're partners of ours. But the party has got to transform itself to be a party which, first of all, opens the door. That it is a party that feels the pain of working class people, of the middle class, of low income people, of young people, brings people into the party. On virtually every issue that I talk about in that book, the vast majority of the American people are on our side. Trump's views are a minority. People do not think we should give tax breaks to billionaires. They do believe we should raise the minimum wage and have pay equity for women. They do believe we should make public colleges and universities tuition-free. So our job right now, and this is terribly important at this moment, people ask me every day, well, what do we do now? What you do now is get involved heavily into the political process. When millions of people stand up and fight back, we will not be denied.
And that's Bernie Sanders speaking on Stephen Colbert's show. And
state of Vermont, I might add.
Which elected a Republican governor.
I know. They have an independent system there, which can pull votes away from the Democrat because the number of votes in Vermont are overwhelmingly Democratic. But I'm amused at the let's dump the so-called liberal elite, which I think Bernie Sanders represents from a policy standpoint more than anything else. But, you know, look, he's correct.
Well, what is the liberal elite?
You know, it's a amalgamation of, you know, folks that just, I guess, think more on issues, you know, in a progressive stance than perhaps your so-called rural America. But look, he's right about Democrats need to be on the side of the working class, be on the side of young people, be on the side of minorities. And we always have been. And our policies reflect that. I think if you took Secretary Clinton's policies line by line, compared to Donald Trump's policies line by line and just, you know, anonymize the candidates, most of rural America would say, well, I'd like to go with her policies. But, you know, the bigger thing that I think Democrats need to focus on is how transformational Donald Trump will be, because I actually believe this is a really difficult question for us to understand. In a suburban Chicagoland district, I believe Secretary Clinton's numbers are going to be above and beyond even perhaps President Obama's. But in a downstate district, they're going to be lower. She beat Donald Trump in Illinois by the exact same margin that President Obama beat Romney. It was about 14 points. But the makeup of that vote is different. And what I want to know and what I think Democrats need to focus on locally and nationally is, will that pattern repeat itself in 2018? Because historically, the party of the president faces a huge backlash in the midterms. And if you look at Gallup's favorability data that they just released, Donald Trump is the most unpopular president-elect in our modern era. And that is because Democrats are entirely united against him, 90-10. Independents are not in favor of him. I believe he's sub-50 favorability. And Republicans are strongly with him. So we're going to move forward as a divided country, but we have to figure out where that divide is. Because if it truly is rural America and, you know, larger cities and metropolitan areas, and they stick in that pattern, well, the math is more, I think, on our side than theirs going forward. And that's not so much an adjustment of our policies because they are for the working class, but it's making sure they're heard loud and clear.
I think one of the issues that, I mean, when we talk about the blue collar and the working class and how there was a disconnect between what should be a traditional Democratic vote. I mean, you look at some of the union numbers of there. And
there was a disconnect, and more than that, I mean, Donald Trump got, by the exit polling, a larger share of evangelical voters than, you know, both, I think, Governor Romney and President Bush. And this is a three-time married, you know, adultery's perfectly fine, you know, amoral candidate for president. But here's the thing about a con man, which is what he is. When they tell you what you want to hear and you're not happy with the way things are, then you're willing to believe it. And there is a absolute truth to the sense that there are many rural communities, there are many small towns in Illinois and in, across the nation that feel like America has changed in a negative way for them, right? And it's not just jobs, it's culture, it's, you know, the opportunities that you have in life. I mean, I appreciate Bernie Sanders' desire for college to be free, but I was talking with a good Democratic friend of mine, comes from a small town in southern Illinois, who said, you know something? Most folks in my area don't believe their kids are going to college anyway, so that ain't going to do much.
Yeah, they're not going to have the opportunity because of they can't afford it. Right.
But college isn't for them.
And also, what does it get them?
Right. College isn't for them. Now, I think there is a huge missed opportunity in vocational training and bringing folks into trades that Democrats really need to focus on. I think the mayor has done a good job in boosting up community college access. That was a big initiative of the president's, President Obama's, I should say. We would do well to give opportunity to the working class, and I believe we have the policies to do that.
But here again, and I think I've heard that kind of those proposals for a long, long time, including George W. Bush and the idea of the partnership aspects of community college and vocational, you know, or unions. Union training, all put together, but I still see this disconnect where it people talk about it, but it's like anecdotal instead of like a full fledged kind of rollout type of program.
Yeah,
and a mobilization.
Look,
program.
there's plenty of things that happen every day that drown out the rest of that news, right? The notion that, as the Chicagoland area has experienced, a Mondelez factory moves to Mexico, right? That reminds people of the issue that they're concerned about, which is, you know, normal, good-paying jobs that have been around in the United States for years and years and years are leaving. And a lot of America blamed, you know, let's call it trade policies, you know, something sort of a little more amorphous that politicians control, as opposed to the real cause, which is, you know, look, we produce more steel in the United States than we ever did. You know, they're in the heydays of the post-World War II era, but we have machines that do it, right? There's less human capital involved, and that's a very, very difficult issue. And that's something that, you know, as president, Trump isn't going to be able to snap his fingers and bring back the carrier jobs to Indiana. So,
which right. That was part of.
And look, I repeat, you know, when you have a con man out there selling you the snake oil, well, you want to believe it, but in his first couple of years, I don't think most of rural America is going to see his, you know, magic return of jobs. Now, look, they're Republican leaning, so they're just going to believe whatever he's saying. But they're going to not see the circumstances of their lives change dramatically. And then they have to ask themselves a question. you know, when he supports candidates or when he runs again, do you trust, you know, this politician? And I think he's going to have a terrible time getting people to trust him because, like I said before, you know, he's just saying things that, and we were just talking about the Saturday Night Live skit last night. He's just been saying things that have no possibility of actually happening.
We're speaking with Tom Bowen, founder, principal of New Chicago Consulting, senior advisor to Max Strategies Group, Democratic consultant. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio with Tom Bowen, Democratic consultant, founder, principal of New Chicago Consulting, and senior advisor at Max Strategies Group. We're talking about where goest the Democratic Party. But first, it's time to say happy Thanksgiving to Ron. Ron, welcome to the show.
Yes, and happy Thanksgiving to you, Rick, and also your guest, Tom. My question is, I really don't think that it was necessary, the message that resonated with the Democratic Party. What I'm looking at is, I think it was the messenger. I was listening to Bernie Sanders, and he was supporting Keith Representative Keith Ellison, maybe here at the DNC. So that's my question. Certainly you have to stay with your base. But how does the Democrat Party going forward with some new faces is probably more reflective of that base? You talk about younger voters, more minorities. So in terms of the individuals going forward, who do you think will be kind of providing leadership? Thanks very much, gentlemen.
Ron, that's an excellent point. It's hard to sell working class, rural, economically concerned America when, Secretary Clinton is, by all means, the so-called liberal elite, New Yorker, world traveler. There's just so much about her that your average person can go, well, you don't identify with me. And, you know, politics is about voters and what they think and what they believe. So your point is exactly correct. Our messenger does matter. Otherwise, our message gets lost. Now, I haven't been following too closely all the details around the Democratic National Committee election of its chair, which is what he was referring to there. Keith Ellison is a congressman from Minnesota. I believe he was the Congress's first Muslim American elected to it. I'm not sure the DNC chair matters a ton to the voter, but what does matter are the candidates we run for office for Congress, which our midterms are coming up in 2018, for governor in Illinois, which is up in 2018. And if we don't have somebody that is relatable and believable to voters on what issues are concerning them, then that is our fault. And I thought, I thought Secretary Clinton lost a close race. I mean, the facts are very clear. She will have won the popular vote by probably about 2 million votes, but she lost a close race for president. And that is partially because Donald Trump was willing to say things no Republican has ever said in the modern era. And it is a difficult candidate to try and run against. There was obviously some failings in the Democrats' data system that they didn't pick up the change there. But at the end of the day, what, you know, set aside your prediction models by, you know, the so-called data journalists, all the polls consistently said it was going to be a close race. And she lost a close race.
Let's bring this discussion down to the state level. You touched on 2018 and, of course, off-year presidential, not a presidential election.
Midterms.
Midterms. State, we've got all the statewide elected officials are up. You have the entire Illinois House of Representatives up again.
There's quite a few Senate seats up in 2018,
right,
too.
Over on that shift. And, you know, this was kind of the, in various degrees, the proxy war.
Mm-hmm.
We have this uncertainty over, you know, and yes, it's early, but who is a Democratic candidate for governor? And, of course, that becomes kind of the messenger for the rest of the Democrats to follow.
Right. And I think what's different, at least what folks expected if Secretary Clinton was going to be successful, what's different is now the Republicans and especially Governor Rauner have to answer for all the things that Donald Trump does and even things that he does sort of by accident here, like the extreme rise in hate speech online, swastikas being drawn on people's sidewalks. I had a personal friend I saw on their Facebook page, you know, document this. Children being bullied in schools and how teachers deal with that. That is on their plate because, as Governor Rauner said, he is the head of the Republican Party in Illinois, and he supported the Republican nominee. In other words, he voted for Donald Trump. So what Donald Trump does is now Governor Rauner's problem. And let's take a very easy example. Donald Trump said climate change is a hoax created by the Chinese. So if he ends the President Obama's Clean Power Plan, if he pulls out of the Paris Accords, what is Illinois going to do to combat climate change? Because in Illinois, our state strongly believes that it's real, that man is responsible for it, and that if we don't do something, our children are the ones that will suffer. So he cannot just run around and say Mike Madigan is the Speaker of the House. Mike Madigan is doing X, Y, and Z, and all of our woes can be blamed on him. What has shifted now is the presidential election now focuses the world on Donald Trump, which he will be in the news every single day for the next 2 years. And how we react to that in Illinois is the Republican Party's problem now.
Well, and I think, and you've seen this discussion too, even in the media, about how, unlike in the months leading up to Election Day, where the governor would not utter, he who shall not be named, Donald right. Trump, is now he is or will be the president.
And he spoke to him already. He right. and, Mike Pence.
But he referred to him as the president-elect. He didn't use his name.
Right. And that, here's the other great thing about that is if he, continues to sort of not acknowledge him, eventually Donald Trump will acknowledge Illinois Republicans. So, you can't just avoid it. And there were several U.S. Senate races that were very close that were, this conundrum constantly happened. But this is going to happen up and down the ticket, and the media can't ignore this. I think there's a lot of, stuff going on in state and local politics, and I think some writers, said, well, why are we talking about the presidential race? That doesn't matter. Well, the presidential race mattered because now if the Affordable Care Act is repealed and the Medicaid expansion in Illinois goes down, well, what is Illinois going to do about it? So, and look, there are several Democrats out there that are thinking about running for governor that I think will have, an excellent opportunity to contrast this vision with Governor Rauner.
Actions have consequences.
They do.
Thank you, Tom Bowen, founder, principal of New Chicago Consulting and senior advisor for Mac Strategies Group. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Rick.
We'll be back with more right after this.